the famous question of the fall of the soul. Do we come from Goloka? Do we come from the Brahma Jyoti? Do we come from Mahavishnu? Do we come from Tathasta region, whatever that means? Where do we come from? And Sri Shukadeva Goswami answers, this is in the beginning of chapter 9, if you like to look at it, chapter 9, second canto. He answers in a very clear way. Basically, he says the relationship of the soul with the material body is like that of a person with his dream during the night. Sometimes devotees have questions. I remember even someone considered learned was questioning in a public, semi-public forum on, was questioning about that, quoting some acharyas and so on. And even saying, oh, this idea of the dream, that's not a very, that's something coming more from monist, from impersonalist. But actually it's right there in the Bhagavatam. And it comes back again and again. Material life is like a dream. Of course, that's not to say that what we experience is not real. What we experience is real in that it is Krishna's energy. But it is not real in that we are dreaming and we are not experiencing the real substance. We are not seeing material energy for what it is. We see it as something else. We see it as something for our pleasure, as something for, like, center around me. This is how we see it. Everything is there for me, which is actually a dream. It's just an hallucination. So, the principle mentioned here, material life is like a dream. And it's a dream because we imagine many things. Also in second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna asks Krishna, what are the symptoms of a person situated in transcendence? What does Krishna reply? Anybody remembers? Yeah. Good. And what's the translation? What's the... Thank you. Good. Good. So when somebody... Sarvam... Prajahati yada kaman sarvan partha manogatan. When somebody abandons all desires, what we call material desires, sarva kaman, sarvan partha manogatan. Manogatan means arising from the mind, from mental concoction, arising actually from imagination. We're thinking we go to such and such place, and we're going to be happy in this way. Isn't it? When a person goes to do whatever, like now it's holiday, people go on holiday, and imagine I'm going to enjoy, I will meet this type of people, I will have a good time, it will be sunny, and I will go to the mountains, and whatever. But then, sometimes, what we find is just the opposite. Sometimes we expect sun and there is rain, especially here in Belgium. We are lucky this week and we got sun. I was told 3 days already with sun. So that's better. And the weather is better than in Spain. In Spain, you cannot take days too much. here it's very warm. But sometimes you get heavy rain when you were looking for sun. And sometimes you get the sun, but the sun is so intense that you get forest fire. Forest fire with wind. Then you really suffer. Like recently in Spain, there was a tragedy. People went to North Spain, and they were in the mountains, and there was a big forest fire, and there was wind. And people literally had to jump on the sea because it was mountains and there were cliffs. Some people got saved, some people died from jumping. So, and these were people who were going to, in their minds, they were going to have a good time. They didn't go there for that. And life is like that. Regularly there is happiness, there is distress. Regardless of what we expect, we find whatever destiny has ready for us. According to our previous actions, according to what we need as devotees, for us as devotees, or aspiring devotees, according to what we need in order to learn whatever lesson we have to learn in order to improve our devotional service. So, mental concoction is something, according to this verse of the Bhagavatam, is something to get rid of if we want to come closer to Krishna. And just find, as Krishna says in the second chapter of the Gita, find satisfaction within the self, which means seeing the relationship of the self with the Supreme Self, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with the Lord, the Lord of the heart. The Lord of the heart, not just in the dry philosophical perspective, dry meaning when we talk philosophy, but without rasa, without relationship, but the Lord of the heart, because Krishna is within the heart in order looking for wake us up. We are sleeping, following the example, wake us up for enjoying. Srila Prabhupada gives this example in some of his Bhagavatam purports, referring to Srila Jiva Goswami or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who say that as Krishna wants, as a husband wants to wake up a wife for enjoyment, somebody wants to wake up his family members for enjoyment. Say somebody comes from traveling from far away. The father of the family was working and comes late at night. If he has been out for a long time, he likes that they are awake to share what he doesn't like that they are sleeping. So, because he wants to have enjoyment, he wants to share. This is an example from this world. Similarly, the acharyas say that Krishna wants the souls, the sleeping souls, to wake up in order to enjoy their relationship, a relationship of love. And Srila Prabhupada says that Krishna is more eager than we are to go back to Godhead. Even we as practitioners, we are practicing Krishna consciousness, but sometimes we are not that eager to go back to Krishna. If we will be faced to, okay, let's go now. We may say, theoretically, we say, yes, I join, I go. But then some may say, give me, I have to go and see whatever I have, my family, my friends, I have to finish a few things. I got some plans, some service to, some project. Please let me finish my project. And then I come. Isn't it sometimes who will think like that. Like, for example, I don't know if you had the experience, sometimes you are sleeping during the night, and then comes time to wake up, Mangalartic time. And the alarm clock is ringing. And then you are in the middle of a nice dream, isn't it? You are doing something, and you were having a good time in the dream. So then you feel like finishing. Sometimes you say, oh no, let me finish what I'm doing, and then I go. Didn't happen to you? To me it happened. I don't... Isn't it? That... So let me finish. No, I finish and then I come. And sometimes even we stay trying to finish. Then of course the dream may go elsewhere. We try to finish, we do it or we don't do it. The dream is mental concoction. Like the verse says, today's verse, Manorata. Manorata means the chariot of the mind. The chariot of the mind can take us anywhere. And therefore, also here in the fifth canto, it is mentioned, do not make friends with the mind. Referring to the conditioned mind, to the material mind. Do not make friends with the mind. In the sense, don't be too relaxed with the mind, because can say anything at any time. Can shoot you at any time. Be careful. We have the enemy at home. Of course, the mind can also become the best friend, as Bhagavad Gita says, chapter 6. A controlled mind becomes the best friend. So a mind that becomes attached to Krishna Seva, to Krishna Kirtan, Krishna Kata, Krishna Seva, Vaishnava Sangha, that mind becomes the best friend. And in that sense, we can make friends with it. But with the general mind, or the mind we generally, the mind we have in the conditioned state, we should be very careful with it. How do we deal with it? And basically engage it in serving Krishna. Engage the mind in thinking of Krishna. By engaging the senses, the body, we naturally engage the mind. We can also not do it. We can engage the body and the mind be elsewhere. But generally it helps. In the conditioned state, sometimes devotees ask me, some devotees, they want to be, for example, a brahmachari, be a monk. But then the desires are very strong in the youth. And the senses are asking for enjoyment. After some time, in the beginning, one feels very peaceful, but then, after some time, the senses are asking, you are making me fast too long, give me something. Please, a little bit. I mean, before you were better with me. So, they ask me, what to do? What is the secret to, if you want to be a monk, what is the secret? And that's not just applicable for the monks. That's applicable to anybody who wants to be engaged in Krishna's service in a continuous way. Brahmachari, grihastha, or whatever. The secret is very simple. It's the process that Srila Prabhupada gave us. The process is to engage the senses, to chant 16 rounds minimum of the holy names of the Lord, as attentively as possible, to follow the four regulative principles, and even sometimes Prabhupada even said, to the best of our ability. Prabhupada was so kind that he said follow, but then in some occasions he gave, not meaning that you can do any nonsense, but meaning that if you make a mistake, you continue, you get back. You stand up and continue. Don't look back to the... Learn from the mistake and continue. Don't get bogged down by the mistake, but build on that mistake to offer something worthy to Krishna and to the devotees. And especially engage the senses. Chant the 16 rounds and follow the principles and engage the senses in Krishna's service. Doing so much service, and the senses implies also the mind. Doing so much service that there is no time for thinking in nonsense, in superficial things. The service takes us back to Krishna. By serving the devotees, by chanting the association of devotees, by studying Shastra. When we study Shastra, we get enlightened. We read what Sri Shukadeva Goswami says, we read what Srila Prabhupada says, and we become enlightened. We can see reality, or start to see reality. We may get a glimpse, when we may not be fully seeing, but we're getting a perception of reality. And it becomes very clear. It's not something, it's not anymore an imagination. It's something you are experiencing. It is the experience of the self. And the experience of the self destroys all the doubts from the heart. When we experience Krishna, we know we are experiencing. Isn't it? When we experience the higher taste of devotional service, it is not something we argue about it, like the fall of the jiva. The jiva, where did it came from? All this sometimes argument back and forth is like fruitless argument many times. It is wasting time. Sometimes even used for Vaishnava Parada. On the basis of such a debate, so much foolish Vaishnava Parada has been committed. Because we created a separation based on an argument that we have no clue, really. Just take the statement of Shastra, and that's it. We don't need to argue so much. And use the time in constructive contributions to the Vaishnava community and to the conditioned souls by spreading Krishna consciousness. Actually, the process is very simple. It's more simple than we sometimes make it. Sometimes we think it is too simple to be true, and we need to create some argument, some mental concoction, in order to make it more interesting, or just to have some enjoyment because we are lacking the relationship with Krishna. We are lacking the Krishna Sambandha, the experiencing of Krishna Sambandha, and therefore we are looking for some other Sambandha. And then we have to imagine whatever relationships and whatever concepts, ideas, in order to be happy, to be satisfied. But this type of imaginations will not give us true happiness. We'll always make us limited to and actually suffering will be dreaming. Like, how much happiness we can derive from sleeping? Like, I'm reading now Shudhakirti Prabhu's book, What is the Difficulty? Some of you may have read. It's a very beautiful book, very personal. And Srila Prabhupada sometimes will express that sleeping is a waste of time. I don't like sleeping. Because he could see, it's like it's time, I'm not engaged in serving and in offering a practical contribution to the conditioned souls. Therefore, it is wasting the time. It is a condition where it is more difficult to experience Krishna. Of course, many advanced devotees may remember Krishna in dreams, but generally the mind makes all kinds of mixtures. And we see ourselves in the dream. So this is kind of the another example given in the Bhagavatam, given by Acharyas also. Like the teacher there was a pupil who was very disturbing in the classroom, and then he threatened him. Of course, nowadays you will not present this threat because it will be considered abusive. But the idea was we should look at the context of the time, and threaten, and was just something to scare the child and to make him cool down, and told the child to, I will cut off your head and put it on the wall for you to see. How is that possible? Obviously, the teacher was not intending to do that. How is it possible that somebody's head is going to be cut off, and then we will see our own head on the wall? We see it through the head. We cannot really do it. So this is the condition of the self in the present state. And therefore, Krishna says to Brahma in the Chatushloki, Ritartam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tat vidya tat manomayam yatavaso yatatamaha. That everything that seems to have any value has no reality unless related to me, Krishna says. Unless there is Krishna Sambandha, there is no point to whatever we see. And then it is just a reflection seen projected in darkness. And that may mean that we, as Krishna's minute expansions, are projected into the darkness of the material world. The material world is a world of shadows, and we are light. We come from Krishna, Krishna's light. We are Krishna's, like Srila Prabhupada said sometimes, little Krishna's. Little Krishna's, in that we are his expansions, but very, very little, minute. So we are projected in the darkness of the material world. Or else it may mean that the material world is a distorted reflection of the spiritual world. Like the banyan tree metaphor used by Krishna in the beginning of chapter 15 of Bhagavad Gita. The banyan tree with its roots upwards and the branches downwards. And Srila Prabhupada says, the banyan tree, that we have we ever experienced such a tree? And Prabhupada says, yes, we have experienced it in the reflection of the real tree. So basically, the principle is we are here called to wake up. Wake up. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the words of Srila Bhaktivinoda, he sings, Jiv Yago, Jiv Yago, Gaura Chandra Vole. Kota Nidra Yao Maya, Pichachira Kole. Again, Nidra. Dream. Sleep. Wake up, sleeping souls. Wake up, sleeping souls. Until when are you going to be sleeping? In the shelter. The bad shelter. Durashraya. Very painful shelter of Maya Devi. Of such a witch. Who is supposed to be caressing us, but actually it's a caressing, it's a cruel caressing. Caressing us and slapping us. Actually, it is not cruel, it is merciful, because her punishment is to make help us wake up. But sometimes, because we have experienced cruelty in life, sometimes we have sinned, or maybe we did some of our sinful activities before getting the mercy of the devotees, was to mistreat other living beings. I don't know if some of you, I don't want to remind you too much of things which are not pleasant to remember, which are shameful and which are painful to remember. But sometimes people, we may have, for example, with an animal, call an animal, attack the animal, and then beat the animal. Sometimes cruel children do that, immature people, call the animal, caress, and then slap the animal. So Maya Devi is acting like that. He's giving, he's moving us to keep us sleeping, but then slapping us. Durashraya, a very bad shelter. Shri Krishna is the real shelter. Ashraya, Ashraya. He is the shelter of the shelter. Whatever shelter we experience, it is given by Krishna. And we should remember, don't get confused, that something within the dream is the shelter. See the connection of whatever we experience in life directly with Krishna. It is Krishna's mercy. The care of the parents for the child, it is Krishna's mercy. The care of the husband for the wife, or the wife for the husband, it is Krishna's mercy. The care of the guru for the disciple, it is Krishna's mercy. Whatever we get is Krishna's mercy. And when we do not see this, Krishna says, it is unreal. It has no reality. It is just, again, mental concoction. And Srila Prabhupada's gift in the Krishna Consciousness Movement is meant to have us experiencing the reality of life by being constantly engaged in devotional service, by establishing real connection. Everyone looks for connection. Sometimes people feel lonely. And looking for connection, I want to connect to somebody. I want to have some friends. I want to have someone to connect with. The real connection comes when everything is connected to Krishna Sambandha, the relationship with Krishna. Ourselves, the people we deal with, the objects we are using in life, our very senses, everything is related to Krishna. And when we see that, then we are seeing the truth. We are connected. We may not be fully seeing, because we are still waking up, but we are seeing, we are experiencing, we're perceiving reality. Thank you very much for listening patiently. If you like to ask questions or make comments, When you speak loudly, I might be deaf, so I need to do. Of course, it's a very general question. We will have to see specific cases in order to define. But say, for example, if I'm hearing you rightly, and you can confirm if that's what you say, somebody is ill, and then say it is Krishna's mercy and doesn't take medicine, for example. Is medicine Krishna's mercy? In chapter 10 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am the medical herb. Krishna is the medicine also. So, yes, the illness is Krishna's mercy, the medicine is Krishna's mercy. If we take all kinds of medicines and we still don't get cured, then it's Krishna's mercy. What Krishna is telling us through that, or how Krishna is directing us to a particular situation. There is always something good behind whatever bad happens. Even in popular wisdom, in many places, for example, in the place where I was born in Spain, they say there is no bad thing that doesn't come for a good thing. So that's whoever observes with a little wisdom how nature functions can see that. So a problem can become a great opportunity. A door is closing, that's the nature of this world, and then few more doors are opening. So generally we get opportunities. We were reading recently, a few days ago, in the study of Bhakti Vaibhava, third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. We have an educational institute in Spain. It operates especially in spring and summer, Spanish language. And we were studying the beginning of the third canto of the Bhagavatam. And some of you may remember when Vidura, the saintly devotee of the Lord, he was insulted by Duryodhana. Remember that? He was giving good counsel to Dhritarashtra after Maharaj Yudhishthira returned with his Pandava brothers from the exile. And he was asking his legitimate share of the kingdom. Actually, he was due to be the emperor. And he said, only give us 5 villages, 1 village for each brother. We will be okay. We don't need more. We can manage with that. Like somebody is hungry, comes for prasad, and say, okay, give me a little bit, nothing more. And say, no, nothing, I don't give you anything. So Vidura was telling Dhritarashtra, don't follow, you are due to the bad association of your son, you are ruining everything. Everything is being destroyed. The whole kingdom will be destroyed because of that. He was giving good advice to him. Just get detached from your son and give back to Yudhishthira his legitimate share of the kingdom. But then Duryodhana came and insulted him. And insulted not only him, but insulted even his mother, because he was born from a non-kshatriya mother. The mother was a servant, Dasiputra. This guy, he's the son of a Shudrani, and he comes, and he's maintained by us, and he comes to support the enemy. Throw him away, and let him only with his breath. Prabhupada says, if he could, he would have beaten him. He couldn't because he was his uncle. But that was his anger, his feeling. He was trembling of anger. How did Vidura react? Anybody remembers that section? What happened in that section? Good. He took it, he saw it as a good opportunity to go and to engage himself more directly in devotional service. Took it as an opportunity to become purified. And first, it mentions the verse and Prabhupada in the purport. First says, he saw how the external energy was acting through Duryodhana. So he didn't take it personal. He didn't say, he's my nephew, how my nephew is insulting me in this way. And became angry or sad or afraid of him because he was threatening him. But actually he saw the modes of material nature are acting here. Yeah? Yeah, well it says the verse specifically, he didn't become sad. He felt it was painful to his heart, to his Vaishnava heart, that this was happening, and they couldn't take the good counsel he was giving them. Like he was giving mercy, and that was rejected. He was giving Krishna. He was giving, that was his intention, bring them closer to sadachar, to proper behavior, in order to bring them closer to Krishna. So in that sense, that was displeasing. But then the very same verse says he didn't become sad because he saw the workings of the energy of the Lord. So he saw the workings of the external energy, and then he saw the workings of the internal energy of Krishna. It was not just material energy, but was Krishna acting through material energy and was giving him the opportunity to move on. And then he went on pilgrimage and he met Uddhava, he met Maitreya Rishi, he got so much mercy by taking the situation in a proper mood. And not only that, but Prabhupada mentions that he even felt grateful to Duryodhana. He felt grateful to the perpetrator of his suffering. Normally we feel when somebody does something to us, we feel like a victim. Isn't it? That's the conditioned feeling. Somebody does something, I'm the victim, and he's the bad guy. I'm the good guy, he's the bad guy. He's abusing me. But in his case, he didn't see it like that. He saw it, he felt grateful that Duryodhana is giving me an opportunity to go on pilgrimage. And this is how transforming can be Krishna consciousness, to see everything in connection to Krishna. Even the most difficult situation can be seen in connection to Krishna. Of course, that we will be able to do it in as much as we grow in our Krishna consciousness. And therefore we are practicing in order to be able to do it. And Krishna sends us tests so that we can practice. When we need some tests, Krishna will send it to us. Okay, it's time to stop. Thank you very much. If you like to talk a little bit about Krishna with me, I should have some time, although I have some meetings, but we can take also some time for discussion if some of you is willing to have it. Thank you. Hare Krishna.